This is Chris Hansen.
Chad doing Rip City Radio here.
This is Jamie Hudson.
This is TJ Houshmandzadeh.
And I'm going to let you all know something.
You're listening to
It Just Makes Sense.
It Just Makes Sense.
We are sports. We are nostalgia. We are pop culture. And we're funny sometimes.
I think overall we're just a good time.
They thought we couldn't do it. But guess what?
We're back.
Podcasts are free and we can do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
We never knew what we were doing in the first place.
Yeah, that is a good point.
You kind of just know when somebody reaches up to squirt you to open up your mouth.
Squirt you.
If you want the smoke, we'll give it to you.
I am like Draymond Green. I will pick a fight with a person that I know I can beat up.
Christmas is over, bitch.
Yeah. I didn't know that I was part of the joke.
You got to be an oblivious motherfucker to realize, you're a part of the joke.
Oh, this has got to be the first time in four seasons that people agreed with your take. And shocking, it's not sports.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay, and who are we
speaking of losing,
to call people out on losing bets, okay? We suck at betting.
And remember, don't be afraid to fade yourself.
Okay. Top three ball catchers of all time for Patrick Mahomes. Top two ball catchers of all time for
Tyree.
I couldn't remember. Betty.
Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely not very
good. Yeah.
You think?
Had he actually caught those, maybe. He was a nice, healthy scratch, or injured scratch this week, I noticed. So, didn't really help. Maybe he was the answer.
Give him a day off, 2 weeks of
the
Bahamas.
Ben Roethlisberger, I feel like it would have been, like Santonio Holmes would have been on that list.
You would think, because he's not one of them.
Hines Ward.
Hines Ward's one.
Yeah. Is that the other one that we're talking
about?
That's
number two. Who's Roethlisberger's number one?
Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One more for Mahomes.
Oh, we're doing top three for Mahomes?
Well, three for Mahomes, two for
Okay. So a third one for Mahomes.
Because you can name the two for Mahomes easy.
Yeah, easy, right?
So now you got to
Now
you got to actually think. It's a receiver.
Marcus Kemp. Leighton Lancer legend.
Close. How about this? Whoever gets it first between the two of you
gets to
pick on the receiving end?
Gets to pick a shot for the person for the loser.
Is it that hard?
It's not. He's on the current roster.
Current roster?
Oh, maybe not.
Maybe not.
But he's still active in the league. I'm pretty sure he's still on the roster. I don't know.
Well, that's not helpful at all.
But I'm trying to eliminate you guys going back far because he's not an old player.
Not an oldie. But possibly not on the roster. See, now that totally.
That makes
sense. Because at this point, I don't think he'd be on the roster because if he were, he'd be on the field.
Yeah. So maybe
he's not on the team anymore.
I don't know who he's with.
Who is it?
Mecole Hardman.
Oh.
Yeah, he plays for the Jets.
Yeah, he's with the Jets now.
You dummy.
I'm a dummy. You guys
straight to the naughty list.
Brian Pringle.
Straight to the naughty list for you, Juan Magoo.
Happy Christmas, Harry.
Were you guys good little boys for Christmas?
Yeah.
Good at boys, yes. Little not.
Not, yeah, as evidenced by the comments that we receive. You buttheads.
Yeah, you assholes.
Yeah. You know, 2023 is another time. We'll see. Or 2024. We'll see how it goes.
I think calling them buttheads would just get us made fun of more. You butthead.
Yeah, butthead was.
You booger picker.
Butthead was not the word that I had for this man today at Trader Joe's. Of all places, Trader Joe's. So I was teasing this story when you guys first got here. I don't know if that 2023 is just like the year of fighting an old man, but that is what almost happened today, boys. So I'm there. We're looking to see if we could, you know, get some deals. So we were at Home Depot before that, across the streets of Trader Joe's. We're thinking maybe 75% off Christmas stuff, whatever. But, you know, we wanted to see if we could cash in on maybe one little extra sleeve of the dark chocolate peppermint JoJo's or something like that. No luck there. Found some, you know, spicy trail mix.
Looking for Listerine treats, huh?
Yeah, you know. You don't like... Okay, that's another conversation. But I'm there, and I'm standing... Like, there's these end caps that have all, like, the clearance section there. And a guy comes around the corner. I'm just talking with Lindsay on the phone because I said, stay in the car. I don't know if there's going to be anything. If there's something in, I can either call you or I'll just come back and it'll be fine because we've got a child and getting him in and out of a car seat is a hassle. So I'm talking with Lindsay on the phone and, you know, halfway through that conversation, like I get hit in like the ankle and in the side by a shopping cart. And it's this old man.
Assault.
Yeah, honestly, it was an old man, white hair, white beard. He was like a very like
Santa,
also short, but like a short king, skinny Santa, wearing a Canadian tuxedo. Mm. So we're talking about jean jacket with denim pants, and he and so I'm just standing there. I'm like my feet are up against essentially this end cap. I could not be more out of the way for a person. So now he's hit me, and I thought, like, it would be a friendly exchange, like, oh, no worries type of thing. He was like, fuck, he was like, get the fuck out of the way. I was like, excuse me, sir.
Sir?
Sir. No, I didn't say, I just go, bro, I'm standing here. I'm not in your way. And he mumbles something to me. I said, get the fuck out of here with your old-ass Canadian tuxedo. I was sharp on it, and I spit everywhere. I have never been so sharp on a comeback insult.
You said
ever
that?
In my life. Ever in my life.
I don't know, man.
Ever.
I'm putting 100 on you did not say that.
I'm multiplying that by 5. I'm putting 500 that you didn't say that.
I know it sounds good, probably when you got back in the car.
Lindsay was on the phone with me. I literally have just like a sound witness.
But he's probably already gone.
I said it loud enough. I said it loud enough. But like at
so he hit. Let's start from the top.
Okay, start from the top now that you've heard my comeback. Okay, great.
He runs into you with his cart, and then you look over at him like, oh, you think it's an accident?
Correct.
So you're ready to be like, oh, not a big deal, bro. Yeah. And he says, get the fuck out of the way?
Yes, more or less.
He mumbled that. He didn't say that.
He said
that.
It loud enough for me. No. He legitimately, like, was perturbed and, like, somehow I was in the way. But, like, I wasn't there around a blind corner or anything. I was on, like, the long side of the other corner.
And
so
then
he had enough time to know whether or not I was
to
there.
Evade.
To evade, yes.
And your response was, get the fuck out of here with your Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, so I said, so I...
Fuck Canada.
So then, so he says that, and I go, I'm standing here, bro. And he mumbles something that I didn't hear. I say, get the fuck out of here with your old ass Canadian tuxedo.
I hope you did.
Listen, I hope you don't take offense to us not believing it.
I know.
But there's a pattern of you getting in these altercations.
Yes.
And the anger doesn't come out.
History.
It was not.
But
I swear to you.
Your anger doesn't come out. Like this emotion doesn't come out until you're telling the story later.
Yeah.
It's like all these things you want to say.
Of what you wish you would have done.
Totally understand. And I am the I wish I would have said that. In that moment, I could not have been more on point.
Well, and if you did that, I'm proud of you.
If you did that, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was.
That would be the right response.
For the sake of Christmas, I'll believe you.
Yes. Thank you. It was, and maybe it was one of those things where I just like, it was so quick that it was like, I didn't have enough time to think about
it.
Did
you get hard?
Kind of. And then I'm so glad that I had Lindsay on the other side.
If you think about it,
at least we have
if you're the person that's like, man, if I could go back in time, I wish I would have said this shit. And you actually did that. The adrenaline that you feel getting back in your car and you actually said that, you're probably in cloud nine.
I felt great.
I'm John Wick.
I have never been like that ever, and it felt great. And maybe it's because this is not my our first run-in with an old, like an unreasonable old man this year. I mean, obviously for our P1s, you heard our story about the tailgate incident, the infamous tailgate of 2023.
Yeah, we are not ageist. If you want the smoke, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, listen, I am like Draymond Green. I will pick a fight with a person that I know I can beat up.
Okay.
Yeah. We all know that, you know, Draymond Green has been considered a fake tough guy.
You should have ran back to Trader Joe's. You killed my dog? You killed my fucking dog, bro?
So it was like day after Christmas, bah humbug.
Well, if that happened, good for you.
Yeah. I am very proud of myself for how I conducted.
If that's how it went down, your dick grew an inch today.
It felt great.
It's always nice to have those moments the day after Christmas where people are like, you know, they get into it. And it's like, Christmas is over, bitch.
Yeah. We've got a full, like, listen, we'll get a little reset here on this one day before.
We're in the depths of winter, okay? I'm depressed, overspent. Overworked. I'll beat that ass.
Yeah, and you're in a Canadian tuxedo trying to blame me for being in your way.
That's a fit.
It wasn't a terrible look on the guy, but you still got to call it for what it was.
I don't know. Maybe we'll all be different at that age, but maybe when you're old, when you're at that age, you just feel like you have nothing to lose, and you just kind of – you're not aware of what you are supposed to do socially, and you just kind of go
– shooting from the hip.
Like, maybe you don't need to include this because I'm not trying to go
– oh, Santa.
Politically, a fucking political conversation, but
he's my neighbor.
On our way to Ridgefield, like when you, if you're familiar with Ridgefield, Washington, when you exit off of Pioneer, there's apparently this has been happening because my cousin's a cop there, and he told me that they've had to like shoo these people away. But on that bridge, there's American flags everywhere, and it's these people that's like, fuck you if you're a Biden supporter. They're like,
oh, sure.
And there's, so on Christmas Eve, December 24th, at 4 or 5 p.m., we were heading out to my aunt's house. There's a lady on the corner where like a homeless person would be standing to beg for money. She's an old white-haired lady standing there with a sign that says, if you're a Biden supporter, F you.
Oh.
I'm like, on December 24th.
And she was just standing there.
Standing there.
She's like, hot in the streets.
I'm like, you couldn't take this day off?
Yeah.
Christmas Eve.
People would like, be okay with you if you took this 26th, day off.
But the 24th, you have nothing better to do. You're so miserable. And whatever political alliance you have.
If she's holding that sign, she most likely believes in Jesus. So it's like, come on, you got to.
It just turns out her Jesus is a different Jesus.
Yeah.
It was just
seems like he would take the day before Jesus' birth off.
It's crazy, man. Mm-hmm. They have a full spread. Like, it's like you're going to like a recruiting booth. Like they got flyers and shit on the side of the bridge. I'm like, who's stopping here to like get a free lanyard or some shit? Like, what is happening?
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen those certain people at college campuses too with their megaphones and everything. But yeah, they're just Ridgefield, Washington exit.
Mm-hmm.
What a time.
Oh, you go by anytime. They're there. If they're there on the 24th, you'll catch them any day of the fucking week.
You know what's like also something that they could have done? And I'm sure that not a lot of people would have stopped to remove it, is just putting like a sign in the ground. They didn't physically have to be there.
They feel that strongly about.
But it's all about the interaction. They love getting the piss and vinegar going.
Right. They want that. They want that. They want it hard.
Hard. To your point, we would beat your ass. I don't give a fuck if you're 80.
Well, Merry Chrysler to you guys.
Oh, Justin, talk Merry to you Chrysler. Nuts, bro.
You guys get some good. What was your favorite gift that you got? Not if you could single one out, but what was your favorite gift? Anyone?
I don't have any favorites. I think probably the funniest gift I got, and probably the most memorable, is I got an electric knife that was in the shape of a miniature chainsaw.
I love that.
And it came with, I forget the villain. It's Jason or?
Yeah, it's Jason.
With the hockey, with the goalie mask. Mm-hmm. So it came with the goalie mask and an
and a chainsaw.
Yep. So
it would come in handy for your brisket.
I legitimately will use it. Absolutely.
Bring it to a Beaver game too, because of the connection there with the with the third down chainsaw.
We only slice meat on third downs. Dude, I'm fucking starving, man. I mean, we gotta wait for third down.
It's a working knife, so I don't know if they'll let me bring it in.
You know, next year they'll allow anyone into a stadium.
Yeah, maybe I can take the knives out. You can remove the knives, so I can just bring
them. Yeah. I'll bring my bug assault and we'll just be
Weapons.
I'm so excited about a bug assault. Have you guys ever seen these in action or used one? They're
magical.
I've
seen them.
I've seen you try to hit animals with guns. I don't think you're going to be...
But it's bird spray. You know, it's like, you know, like bird shot, but with salt.
Also, I feel like this...
So I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
This tool is just going to... You're going to use... bugs as an excuse, but it's just gonna end up in food. The last thing you need is more salt and food. It's like, oh, I'm trying to hit this bug. Oh, it's in the scalloped potatoes.
It'll be my gimmick. Hey, you need salt? I got you, boo. It's embedded into your meal now.
We had scalloped potatoes last night for Christmas dinner.
And I love a good scalloped potato.
And
clearly,
Jara and I took a bite of it. And she looks across the table at me and goes, did Pete make these?
Oh, no. She did not.
Yes, she did.
She did not.
Because they were way too salty.
Oh, gosh.
Peter, why are you surprised?
I didn't know that I was part of the joke. I just...
You got to be an oblivious motherfucker to realize, you're a part of the joke.
No, but like I was part of the joke and I wasn't even there.
Yeah. When things are too salty... We say, did Peter cook this?
Damn it. Well,
it's not going to change anything.
I know. Yeah. Do you think it's going to change? I have a bug. I have a salt gun now. You guys just can't even. I got a drone for Christmas. Very excited about that, but also excited for all the bug zapper stuff.
Miguel got his first boner.
Congratulations to you.
It's been a while.
You got a money clip, right? That's very exciting.
I did. I don't know if I could pick one. I mean, Ashley does a great job with gifts, even though it's last minute because we said that we weren't going to get gifts for each other.
Right.
And then I make a face like, I got you something. So she's like, I've been talking. I talk about stuff. When I really need something, I get it. But as you guys know, when people get me stuff that I really need, it's so special that it takes me forever to use it. It's like, I see it there. It's on my nightstand. And I'm like, this is a great one.
Can't use it.
I'll use it when the one I'm currently using is completely unusable.
Okay.
Because I'm savoring the moment to use the new stuff. So this wallet that she got me, it's going to be a while. I'm going to wait for this shit to break down. But it's the metal money clip that has room for all of your cards. And I'm no longer going to... I always do this, like check in for my wallet, but it's going to be clipped right in there now. But we also didn't expect to get as many gifts from my family as we did. I mean, we got... Probably my favorite one is this really expensive blanket that's so fucking soft.
For the bed or for like snuggling?
I mean, we've already used it on the bed. We use it for the couch. Mm-hmm. But it's a fucking Ralph Lauren blanket that's like not cheap. Mm-hmm. My mom got me I'm now a Carhartt person. She got me a Carhartt hoodie.
I got my first Carhartt this year. It's a bag, but
welcome to the club, boys.
Yeah. But I've never owned anything Carhartt, and it's been nice. Like a trend, right? I grabbed that shit out of the bag. You can tell this is not cheap.
Yeah.
Carhartt hoodies cannot be cheap. It was so well made.
Nice woven.
She found it in my size, which is a 4X. I'm like, this shit's going to keep me, this is going to be too hot.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to fucking keep me warm. But she got a nice purse. But the coolest thing outside of what Ashley got me, she also got me like a leather bound book, like a planner.
Did she make the paper herself?
No, but it's really fucking nice. I'm like Ron Burgundy with leather bound shit. But my cousin Maureen, who's 23, she used to be the baby of the family. She made these custom photo albums for all the cousins that had all the pictures from when we were like, when I was I used to shave my eyebrows. I used to trim them.
Really?
So some of the photos, they're little pencil super eyebrows. Light.
Yeah.
No, they're just super light. Oh, I was like, that's when I was like 19, and I used to wear the really baggy like Anichi and Pepe jeans with my hood up, my fucking earrings and all this shit.
What made you like do your eyebrows though?
I used to think they were super thick. Mm-hmm. So I would trim, I would get like the four attachment and I would trim them. So you can tell in photos how light they were. I look so stupid.
Surprise cat. We have the garage door open. There's a surprise cat.
Come here, kitty.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
But yeah, the photo, the nostalgic photo thing was pretty cool.
It is interesting. Like, I mean, I understand how much space a photo album takes, but just like right around like holiday time or whatever, just being able to pull out a nice, unexpectedly pull out a few albums and look through them.
Yeah.
That is pure nostalgia. And yeah, it's something that is kind of lost on probably our generation.
I will always appreciate stuff like that. I'm never, first of all, I'm like a mild hoarder. I don't throw stuff away.
Right.
But there's stuff that I never view it as like taking up space or just trash. Like my senior year yearbook, I must have looked at that a million times just to like remember the signatures and the messages and all that. That's why I appreciate looking through photos and watching old videos. And probably the thing I'm most excited about for our actual wedding day is to be able to go after and like look at the guest book and look at like
that's the physical things. Yeah.
Like Ashley's doing most of the planning and I have input, but I have been looking more at like the stuff I'm going to remember after. I was like, oh, which cool like guest book idea could we do? Or like what photo booth type shit we could do? Because that's the stuff I'm going to keep looking at after just to remember it.
There was one nice thing, like when we had the fire at our house back in 2018, like we just had everything digital. So like we lost so much stuff, but we were still able to like preserve those photos, which was kind of a nice boon. But, again, having the having a photo album, you can really like take a trip down memory lane there. Like you can't do that with your phone. You can't just like throw photos. I guess maybe you could, but I don't know if it has like the same effect.
It doesn't run have through the a same effect, but you also lose phone. You kind of take it for granted how important photos are when you start like missing moments or people. Because I remember before the digital age of like having this cloud that holds thousands of fucking pictures, when I was like 7 years old or 8 years old, the house next door to us in the Philippines caught on fire. So at like 4 a.m, everyone's waking us up to like go outside. My grandma only grabbed two things, photo albums.
Yeah.
Two boxes of photo albums. She didn't grab clothes or any expensive like vases or any, you know, shit that we have at the house. She grabbed pictures. That's all she grabbed.
Right.
That's like something I took away. It's like these are things you're always going to look at and like memories.
Well, and I think I saw something like on Instagram recently where it's like the iCloud and the having stuff on your phone is nice. But if you think about, you know, two generations from now, your grandkids, after you're gone, how are they going to get access?
How are they going to memorialize you?
iCloud.
Yeah, for sure.
How are they, unless you, you know, make sure that before you die that your children or your grandchildren have access to all these things.
For sure.
Which most of the time you're not going to. You don't know when you're going to die most of the time. It's like, how are they going to get access to this stuff? So it's really just kind of a hoax. Like, yes, it's a good place to save all these things, but like to think that it's going to create, you know, this kind of, you know, place where people are going to be able to have memories of you and get access to all this stuff is kind of not true. You know, they're going to need your passwords and emails and all this different stuff. It's like, I feel like photo albums will pretty much always be pretty sentimental and valuable. And that's something that Jared and I have just recently gotten into for the wedding. I put together, or she and I put together, the first photo album of just like my pictures and stuff I've like never seen, which was really, really cool. It holds a lot of value to me.
No, I completely agree with that. And it kind of answers the mystery for Ashley. And she's like, you hate taking photos. It's like, why do you hate taking selfies and pictures so much, but you have such an affinity for photo booths? Anywhere we go that has a photo booth, I'm like, we got to go. Like, why?
We almost stopped at a random bar on our way to karaoke because the karaoke place didn't have a photo booth.
Why are you so desperately interested in photo booths, but you hate taking pictures? And I think just subconsciously, that's my answer. It's like, I have the physical thing that I could save and put in between my little journal now instead of like in your phone.
Yeah, and we all appreciate when Mitchell has his like old-timer camera as well.
He's got a few roles of film he's got to develop.
Yeah, he sure does. I wonder if this is now a business idea that we need to make sure that, like, would you pay, like, here, you can upload every photo, maybe not every photo, but you can upload all these photos and just have, like, a lifetime thing, and then, but then someone's going to lose the link, or you'll have to have that the right database.
That exists in a million different ways right now.
Well, and it's
thing of originality.
Don't take this idea, because I think I'm going to do it next year, is that's such a good idea, especially for our friend group, is, like, just, you know, what's the word? Putting together all of, because we've been all been friends. Our group has been friends for many, many years, and we have so many photos together. It's like being able to make like an album for everybody to have. That would be so cool.
That would be pretty neat. Sounds like we've got some work to do.
Yeah,
I think that's.
But this whole podcast thing's working out pretty well.
The places like Shutterfly does that.
Yeah, you know, no. Like, well, and it's so easy now with iPhone. You can literally just search like friends, and it will go through. Or like my phone has facial recognition for you guys, so I can type in Peter or Miguel, and it will bring up all the pictures that you guys are in with me. And like, if we were to all kind of, what's the word that I'm looking for? Put them in one place.
Crowdsource?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, put them in one place and basically just create an album that we could all have. Like, that would be so fucking cool.
Yeah. There's probably so many photos that we don't know exist.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
We should go through them first.
Yeah. But I mean, I was saying that, like, whether or not this podcast thing works out or not, but we got some of our stats. We were in 19 countries this year, so congratulations, boys. Maybe our Frankfurt, Germany friend has either told someone about the podcast.
And we have they're two both, listeners.
I don't know. But I do know that there are more listens in Frankfurt, Germany this year than there were episodes this year.
Wow.
So either that person has listened, the one person in Frankfurt, Germany has listened to us the same episode multiple times, or they have now told a friend, we appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
No, you know what's crazy? It's like, none of us three will turn away an opportunity if someone was like, you guys can start making like real income where you don't work to do this, because that's the fucking dream. We're going to drink and talk about random shit and sports. But really, the ultimate reason we do this is because it's fun. It's an excuse to get together.
Yeah.
But then you see some of the numbers. Like, we started doing the short TikToks and Instagram Reels, and we've seen that blow up on TikTok. That shit is going nuts on the Reels.
Mm-hmm.
Our TikToks do really well, too. To think that we have TikToks that are at over 130,000 views.
That's pretty fun.
Like, I mean, that's
Polar Express.
How many people
one,
can you fit in the big house?
108,000, I think.
So more people than you can fit into the Michigan Stadium have watched our TikTok. That's nuts.
It is pretty funny that there was a someone who also recently looked at Polar Express as a chaotic movie, and this has 154,000 likes. So this person stole our idea. And was just, I don't know if I'll play
this
the
whole
thing.
This guy's pretty funny, though.
He is pretty funny. He does a lot of stuff where he just, like, does a play-by-play of what happens on Seventh Heaven, which is just unhinged as well. But he did a video. Let's just play a little bit of it. The tagline is, the Polar Express is the train ride from hell, which, yes, sir, I agree. You copied our idea from last week.
I think I need a drink. So this kid, who has this one expression the entire movie, doesn't believe in Santa. So a magic train picks him up at his doorstep to take him to the North Pole. Now, this is a train you do not want to be on. It is a nightmare to be on this goddamn train.
Yes, it
there
is.
Are all these rules about like tickets and being on time. Like, it's very stressful for a magic train.
Yes, it
these
is.
Kids are constantly near death. Like, they are slipping and sliding and dangling. The train is also plagued with malfunctions. They were like, how are we going to adapt a 35-page book into a feature-length movie? It's animated and magic, so the possibilities are endless. Let's do mechanical issues. There's also a character who lives on top of the train named Hobo, and he represents the Christmas spirit. I still have no idea what they're trying to say here. You finally get to the North Pole, and it's cool.
Yes.
Like, it is magical.
It's
there's
very magical.
Elves, technology. At the North Pole, they have these bells that you can only hear if you believe in Santa. And he's the only one who can't hear them. Like, you don't believe in Santa right now? Like, after the train ride and the flying elves and everything? So now he can finally hear the bell, and Santa gives it to him as the first gift of Christmas. But the kid realizes on the train ride home that he lost the bell. Also, through the movie, the conductor has been stamping mysterious letters on their tickets. Like, ah, oh, what could it all mean? And it ends up spelling learn and believe. Like, all that buildup for that. Like, you might as well just not have done it. The kid gets the bell back because Santa leaves it under the tree for him. And he can hear the bell, his sister can hear the bell. But then the parents grab the bell and they're like, oh, it's broken. So they both don't hear it? Like, I'm sorry, what? Like, who do you think has been putting presents under your tree? Like, do they both just think the other parent has been doing Christmas every year? You two need to communicate more. Like, is this marriage okay?
I will say that when you brought this up, we didn't agree with you. Well, I mean, he didn't agree with you. He's actually seen it.
Blame him.
No, but I haven't seen it. But I'm like, what are you talking about? This is another one of your takes.
Did you watch it?
No. But okay.
But there are people who agree with me.
But everyone on the comments were on your side.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, this has got to be the first time in four seasons that people agreed with your take. And shocking, it's not sports.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay. Because then, like, I think we had several comments on there, and I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, it's a dark, creepy-ass movie. But we do love The Grinch, but this is creepy as shit.
It is creepy as shit.
And I said, maybe I need to watch it again, because I haven't seen it.
It's a but stressful
the Grinch,
movie.
The Grinch, it is... a step too far. The Grinch is an incredible Christmas movie.
It is.
And I was thinking about it. All Christmas movies, the reason that they are Christmas movies is because bad things are happening, negative things are happening, and because of Christmas and the spirit of Christmas and all the joyous things that surround that, it all becomes better.
Billy maybe Bob Thornton, Bad Santa.
Yeah, maybe that's what makes the Christmas movie.
I wish you guys would do this for me.
Have you seen this video?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very incredible. You guys were talking about your favorite. Well, thank you once again for all the people who agreed with me in the comments. One win for me. I'll take it right at the end of the year.
Well, thanks for all the views, too. I mean, honestly, we might be, if we were professional football players, we might be new heights. It's just we weren't NFL players, but we're getting the fucking views. So
I think,
thanks for all the follows.
I think we should be thankful for everybody who has listened, whether this is your first episode or you just follow us on whatever social media. We are so appreciative. I remember when we sat around a fire in Silverton or wherever we were.
Silverton,
and
Oregon.
And we kind of, it was at the beginning of COVID, kind of like it was just, COVID was just about to kind of come around the corner.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, what could we do? What would be something? I think Miguel asked me if you could do one thing with your life that made you enough money where you didn't have to work again. And I was like, I would love to do a podcast, especially with you guys. Like, that would be so fun. And I said, if anything, if it didn't amount to anything at all, we made no money, which we haven't.
But it's still fun.
But the only reason we did it is every week we got to hang out just once a week for a couple hours to have drinks and bullshit. That would be enough. And for 3 years now,
almost four.
It has been more than enough. I love doing this with you guys. It is one of the things that I look forward to most in my week. And we wouldn't still be doing it if we didn't get these comments, if we didn't have these viewers, if we didn't know in Germany that there was some random motherfucker who was watching this. So we greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate it.
As fun as it has been and still is, who would have thought we'd be in 19 countries?
Yeah,
not me.
Pretty wild.
With fucking people listening to us who don't speak English.
Yeah, not me.
I mean, that's crazy.
And the introduction of our YouTube page has also paid off as well. So, very much, we very much appreciate everyone. We're so thankful for you guys.
Merry Christmas.
But you're not true fans unless
Happy
you
Hanukkah.
Come to our live show.
Yeah, January 10th. 6 p.m.
at Jimmy's Sports Bar.
Be there or else we're cutting you off.
Listen, if Frankfurt person reaches out to us, I might
We'll buy your drinks.
We'll buy their ticket.
We'll do our best.
By the way, we'll finance you. We'll crowdsource this whole thing. But yeah, so the clip that I have up is a group of people sitting around giving, you know, talking about their best Christmas.
I think it's called a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably a family. A family of people who
a
all
group of family. A group of personages.
Yeah. A bunch of white people.
They all look similar.
Yeah. A family. You know, I asked you guys about your favorite Christmas present. I'm not sure if this was this gal's favorite Christmas present, but it is definitely one of the best. We'll describe it to our listeners here in a moment, but for our YouTubers, you can see. All right, this gal's opening a present. It is a canvas. It is a print. It's a painting.
Of her mugshot?
And it is a picture of her mugshot on a
canvas.
That's
incredible.
So good. She looks disheveled.
I mean, good point. There's only one person we can do this for. I don't know why we haven't thought of this shit.
Yeah. It's so funny. You know who gave it to her. It was that guy.
That's a great gift.
People are just absolutely stunned. So.
Memories.
Yeah, the memories. Maybe we'll find our way to get ourselves.
Let me see if we can find Braxton's.
It's hard to find nowadays. That was a long
nowadays,
time ago.
Now that... freaking Biden has pardoned everyone and anyone who's
except me.
ever had a marijuana offense. So
I hope I'm included.
Back
in, that.
in the day, you guys were talking about New Heights here just a second ago, and there was a clip from the New Heights podcast that I absolutely could not not have this week, and it is Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce, obviously. Talking about in their portion of the No Dumb Questions segment of their show, there are a good number of things that are kind of unique to football, you know, just about nuances or whatever. You know, like when they had a bunch of new Swifties come on, they were asking like basic questions. But this one, I felt they took it and ran with it very well.
Joe DeFran, why don't players squirt their own water?
Hey,
that is such a good question. Honestly, somebody comes up to me with it already like right here,
yeah,
and all they got to do is just go around from person to person and just like, do you want one? I can shoot you real quick.
Yeah,
it's way easier than handing the bottle and handing it. I don't know, it's maybe not that much easier, but it is convenient.
You kind of just know when somebody reaches up to squirt you to open up your mouth.
Squirt, yeah.
And then you just get squirted. But you don't always, like, they don't have to do the squirting. You can do the squirting sometimes. But, you know, when you develop a relationship, you just know when you're about to get squirted on.
You develop the relationship.
Yeah.
You got to have a good relationship with the person squirting.
Yeah. You don't want to just be letting randos squirt on you. I'll let a teammate squirt me sometimes.
That's just a good teammate.
Yeah. I'll squirt. I'll squirt you guys if you need one.
I'm Trainer Trav, man.
Trainer Trav.
I got that thing right on the hip. Just need one,
dude? Ba-bow. Yeah.
I got you.
My pet peeve, sometimes they don't screw the lids on all the way.
Oh, yeah.
It pisses me off right down. Come on, guys. We embarked on this avenue of trust.
This avenue of trust.
I opened my mouth to accept your squirt, and you dumped it all down my chest.
So there you go.
That is, like, obviously it's a time efficiency thing.
Yeah.
But
it's odd. On. Yeah. It takes like guys who are making hundreds of millions of dollars and saying you can't drink your own water type of thing. I get it though. Like, yeah. You know, and especially like during height of COVID and everything, it's just like, you know.
But they've been doing it long before that.
Right. Literally a person's job in part is to squirt a professional athlete.
Yep.
I think it's less about them not wanting or not being able to do it, but like you watch the NBA, no one's squirting them.
Mm-hmm.
They grab the bottles and they squirt themselves. But in the NFL, it's got to have something to do with like you adjusting your gear during timeouts. Like you're wearing a glove, you're having to put your mouthpiece out, and you're wearing a helmet, which blocks it.
And they have less timeouts.
Yeah, it's probably a lot easier for someone. That's why they have those people, because there are little factors where like, you know, your hands in the fucking warmer, your gloves, your whatever, you're adjusting it. So I get it.
Yeah. Are there nuances to maybe any sport, maybe not just the NFL, where you're just kind of like, where you've kind of wondered why this specific things exist. For me, I will say, why do MLB managers have to wear the pants? Why do they have to wear a full uniform? Why do they have to wear a full uniform where there's just like old saggy balls are just in this like MLB uniform?
I don't know if it has anything to do with their balls. But, yeah.
But, you know, still, like, there's no reason why they need to be dressed like that.
But I think, because I agree with you, but then you think, what's the alternative? If they were to wear athleisure wear, that's weird. A suit? Weird.
But I mean, like, it's not like terribly sweats. Weird that, like, Mike
that's
McDaniel.
Athleisure.
Mike McDaniel is wearing a sweatsuit with his little pants up all every game, and we're not bothered by that.
But again, think of the environment. You're in the dugout.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on the side of a football field, that's a different environment, different backdrop. You're in the dugout. I guess you could get away with just wearing sweats.
But your question is more the uniform. Why do they have to wear what the players are wearing?
Yeah.
Not necessarily athletic shit. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with them being in a hoodie and sweats. That's fine. You're not out playing.
What if they wore, like, a jersey untucked? You know, they got the baseball cut on it. And it, you know, has manager or whatever last name on it. And then they just wear like joggers.
I feel like I think the problem is with the tight pants. Like, why are you wearing the pants that the players wear?
Right. Like, why not just be in like cozy gear?
Why are you in pinstripes?
Yeah.
I think honestly, if we dig deep enough into all of the random questions, I think majority of it's going to fall on Major League Baseball.
Maybe. There's a lot of weird stuff.
But like,
in baseball.
Why are they allowed? What's the need? And why are they allowed to chew?
Yeah, I feel like they've tried to get rid of that, but people have found
But, like, imagine if NBA players did that.
If they dipped while...
You got fucking Zins, you're chewing, like...
I'm sure some of them do, Zins especially.
Sure, but why is it so universally, widely accepted with Major League Baseball that you're chewing?
Well, I think mostly in baseball, but in all sports, history.
Sure, yeah.
It's just that's how it's been, and especially because tradition is so valuable in baseball specifically, it's like they don't want to fuck with what they've been doing.
Did you guys see the NHL announcer who accidentally took a swig of his partner's
dip spit?
Oh, that's the worst. Have you done that?
And I
have done that.
I don't know how I've gotten so lucky not to do that, but I've never done it.
I did that during a poker tournament.
Oh,
and
that's immediate projectile vomit.
I left my money. It was my Bud Light sitting next to the Bud Light chew bottle spit, and I grabbed it, and I took a swig, and it was immediate fucking, it was someone's saliva that just spit in there. I got up, I left my chips, I started forcing myself to throw up outside, and then I just went home.
I wouldn't
have ruined my entire
myself.
Fucking night.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done that, thankfully.
It's gross.
Let me see if I can pull it up very quickly.
I feel like
you can kind of understand how this goes, though. I don't know if there's any audio to it, but it is the analyst who decides that he's going to take the drink. There's the drink.
Oh, yeah, I know how that feels.
And then, like, the guy has to just, the play-by-play announcer just has to go completely like nothing ever happened. Apparently, this happened months ago, but they, you know, didn't want to make it
I wouldn't be able to continue. Is the guy just clueless about what happened?
I think he knows, but he's the play-by-play announcer.
Yeah, he's got to keep it going.
In hockey play-by-play, you have to be, like, going, right? Like, you have to... Doc Emmerich was so good. He was like a radio guy on TV for anyone who knows or follows hockey. But you can't miss a beat there.
That sucks. I hate that. That's the worst feeling.
So, yeah. Luckily, have not had to endure that.
I've not grossed out by a lot of things, but that's one of the worst things to ever happen to me is drinking that chew spit. It's fucking gross.
Yeah, it's gnarly.
No good.
There's little particles in there of the thing with the saliva, and it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah,
it's gross.
I do wonder if the alternative could be a nice Pop-Tart. And I'm not sure if you guys saw, and I'm sure that the answer is absolutely
Pop-Tart?
Yes. Yeah, you know, a good old Pop-Tart is an alternative to
a chew spit. You're
going to
lip a Pop-Tart?
Just, that is not the same. You're just eating a Pop-Tart in the outfield?
I'm just terribly transitioning here, which was, remember we talked back a few weeks ago about how there was going to be an edible trophy for the bowl game. The Pop-Tart Bowl was going to be an edible trophy. We saw, you know, people for the Potato Bowl, they dump a whole thing of French fries for
Duke's
the
Mayo
Duke's
Bowl.
Mayo. They douse them in mayonnaise.
Is it just Pop-Tart on a trophy, or the whole trophy would be
right.
edible?
And so this one, actually, they revealed it, is a trophy where, you know, you have two tiers, kind of like a cake. There's a couple of like metal plated Pop-Tart looking things. And then you have a football, very much like the Lombardi trophy, but like in between, like right on the other side of the seams, is what looks to be like a toaster insert where you can place the Pop-Tarts into. And so people today are talking about how this is the greatest trophy of all time, right? Like, I mean, you used to have the Duke's Mayo one where you had like, you know, literal, you know, mayonnaise in it. What do you guys think of this? I want to get your thoughts, and then I have my response.
I'm not against it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like I don't love or hate Pop-Tarts.
But how come it's not like a 10-pound Pop-Tart?
Easy, Pete. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
It should have been a 10-pound Pop-Tart that everyone could literally walk around, and you could take a bite out of it. And then you give them like a general trophy.
I mean, this
says Pop-Tart.
This is still a pretty cool trophy. You can put Pop-Tarts in the trophy.
You think, I mean, as an audience, yeah, you would enjoy a massive life-size Pop-Tart, but that's not something that the teams would be able to keep should they win the bowl game.
That's true.
Like, you're going to put that in a glass case? Just that's how you get ants, Barry.
People are like, oh, is this the greatest trophy of all time? And I legitimately thought that the trophy was going to be
I think that's
Pop-Tart.
That's enough of
stealing one of these.
Ode to Pop-Tarts. I think that's good enough.
Ode to Pop-Tarts.
The only thing they could do to make it even better is that's an actual toaster. Battery-powered toaster.
If that was a legit toaster.
Yeah, that would be something. Didn't one of you say that you hadn't had Pop-Tarts?
I've never had a Pop-Tart.
I feel like you'd love them.
Next pod. All right. A little New Year's Pop-Tart.
Better have, like, you know, ground beef and sour cream in it.
That's called an empanada.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. That I've had. That's good.
These are...
Honestly, Pop-Tart's missing out on not going savory.
Going savory? They probably should. That's true. How come they haven't, like, would they feel like they're, like, culturally appropriating or
like
something
doing
like that?
It, like, if you take a... Like they give a fuck, Pete.
Money talk.
Just do a toaster strudel, but it's frozen ground beef.
That's true.
Would you enjoy...
And then you put a... instead of the frosting...
Because they already do Uncrustables and stuff, right? Or is that a different company?
I don't fucking know, but...
That's Smucker's.
Yeah. Well, still, the concept's the same.
Would you enjoy a Pop-Tart that has, like, pulled pork and coleslaw and barbecue sauce inside?
Not coleslaw, but pulled pork?
Yeah. Barbecue sauce?
Well, why not? They just call it Pop-Tart brand, right? I mean, like, there's Hot Pockets that are like that, which is, in essence, the exact same thing.
Fucking love Hot Pockets.
But put the Pop-Tart name on it. But
I open Hot Pocket down the middle, and then I put a little bit of salt and Tabasco in it.
It does need more sodium,
that's for sure.
Shut up, guys. I don't even know if you're serious at this point. Let's see. How many Pop-Tarts do you think that you could buy? There's probably the right answer for this. If you cashed a 14-pick anytime touchdown parlay the way that this guy did, $5 pays $489,000.
Man, I've been doing this for a few years with five. I can't hit five, like a 5-pick. He hit a 14.
14-er.
The worst part is he hit a 14, and one of the guys he picked is Chris Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Could you even fucking name?
How could you even
Do you even know who that is? It's Antonio Gibson's backup for the Commanders.
Uh-huh.
And that guy scored 2 touchdowns.
He sure did.
This guy wins $500,000 on a $5 bet.
He probably wasn't feeling great when they were just like dead to rights there in the first half, too, when they were just getting mollywopped. And then they get this comeback, courtesy in part by Chris Rodriguez Jr.
The only thing that makes me somewhat feel positively is that I know it's possible.
That's worse. Yeah. That gets you to spend more money.
There are, and maybe this guy's a plant or whatever, but, like, you know, a lot of people say, and we've talked about this too, whether or not these were fake bets or anything like that. However, they do have the guy reacting to it. The 14-leg parlay included Najee Harris. That's fine.
You guys keep going. I'm going to go pee real quick.
That's fine. Gabe Davis, Jahmyr Gibbs, DK Metcalf, Jerome Ford. Chris Rodriguez was a bit of a stretch, but who knows? You
Pacheco
know.
Was a gimme.
Pacheco was there.
The fact that his last one was McCaffrey.
I know. I mean, like, talk about a shoe-in, right?
But imagine if he, imagine if the most
if it
sure
was last
one,
week or whatever that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, and he didn't score. Yeah. It's just, it's, yes, this one's real. But this it's this guy's second time ever placing an anytime touchdown parlay. It's his second time ever. It's five. It's like it's the parlay I place, just smaller for $5, and I can't hit anything. He was asked, like, what are you going to do with the money? He's like, oh, this is so unexpected. I'm just going to pay off, like, student loans and debt and just, like, like the guy doesn't need the money,
right?
He's like, I'm just gonna invest the rest.
But yeah, I mean, just like the ability to say that you're debt free is like
from
gambling,
anytime touchdown parlay.
Yeah, and I mean, just what's funny is I think back to this past weekend where it was Christmas Eve, and I placed a 4-pick, all road favorites parlay. And it was like $10 to win 65 or anything like that. And here I am sending you guys a little screenshot that goes, good dub today, guys.
$10 to win $60.
Yeah. Felt great.
Fucking guy.
And then I immediately put a, no joke, this is how it went. I was like, how can I immediately gamble this back away? There was like a boost for Tyreek Hill, who was -110 in the versus the Cowboys for an anytime, which was boosted to +150. The Browns game had like went down to like it was like 1:23 p.m. Pacific time when they won. And so I was waiting, or 1:22 is when they won. It was like 1:23. I'm like, I need this money to cash so I can start like betting this a little bit more. And so finally, like with 1 minute before the game starts, I was able to place the Tyreek Hill anytime touchdown. That's how much of a degenerate I was.
This
just waiting for money to cash so I could place
a window afternoon window slot. This is just mind boggling. I had a 4-pick anytime touchdown parlay with DK, David Njoku, Antonio Gibson, which Antonio Gibson scored last, and Sam Laporta. Who's the guy with the most touchdowns this year? Sam Laporta. Three of those hit. I miss it by one leg because Laporta didn't score a fucking touchdown for the Lions. And then I started fucking around with, okay, none of the shit I've been doing. Like, I haven't hit a single alternate spread this
really?
Year. Not a single one. And they haven't been missing by one. They've been missing by like 4 or 5. Like, Buffalo missed this week again. The Niners got blown the fuck out.
Sure did.
Sure, the Chiefs fucked you.
The Chiefs fucked me.
Yeah, they fucked everyone.
There were a couple other.
There was a lot of money on the Broncos over the Patriots. Were you on that? I stayed away from that because like the Patriots these days are too unpredictable.
I think I hit that because it was close enough. Yeah. And then I started messing around with you pick an anytime touchdown scorer and for their team to win. So I picked like Jonathan Taylor and the Colts to win.
So I do that every week with like Christian McCaffrey and the 49ers.
Yeah. But that one missed by Jonathan Taylor scoring and the Colts getting fucking rocked. Jesus, man.
Oops.
I can't do anything right.
Yeah.
Speaking of football, I'm sure you guys have some opinions on this. I know this is a little insider baseball here, but me and my wife in the fantasy football championship.
Oh, God. Yeah. You just had to, I thought you were not going to try and bring that up because I was
he had to bring that up because he's not going to get a congratulations.
No,
I know. I'm trying to get ahead of it here.
It's, yeah. Publicly.
I will say anyone can make it to the championship as a two-headed monster. I mean,
that's
if you're
true.
Teaming up, you're going to make it there.
Mid-season trades.
Well, I'm not teaming up with anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Ooh, how does.
Something smells fishy.
How does a guy being a dude at 7-7 this year somehow knock off the number one?
You guys made
seed.
Some moves together, yeah. And you're both in the championship. I
yeah,
smell
we,
a little
we
something.
Did make a trade in week one. You
that
are
was
right.
Not week one.
That was not week.
That was not week one.
Go ahead and look it up, Pete. It was definitely week one.
No, it wasn't. There's no way that you're trading away Garrett Wilson in week
Can
one.
Can you bet a
yeah,
shot?
What happened in week one to the Jets, Peter?
That doesn't matter. Garrett Wilson was still going to be your number one.
That's why I traded him at his highest value.
Better shot.
Oh, that's why I tried to screw over my wife, is what you're saying?
It was her offer.
Disagree. All I know is that the
money and the trophy is staying in house, boys.
And who's going to have to buy the little...
We'll see. Whoever's playing.
Austin.
Did you win?
No, I lost, actually. Yeah. I was projected. Again, you know who screwed me again was freaking Patrick Mahomes.
Well, like, Amari Cooper screwed you.
Oh, yeah. That's also very true.
Yeah.
I was very much thinking that things were going to go well for me because I was projected to win by like 20. And then I get the notification. It was like, you lost by 7. I'm like, how does this keep happening? On paper, one of the best looking rosters. And then when you look at the names.
But also on paper, one of the worst records.
Yes. Yes. Very much so. I had to pick up because Michael Pittman had that. He had a little delay there. I totally forgot that the Bills played when they did, so I didn't put Gabe Davis in. And he had 24 points. Mm. So I like rolled the dice and put in a Romeo Doubs. And he got 18 points. So
yeah, I mean, he's a solid player.
Yeah, why not?
But yeah, I will say though,
it's convenient.
Week 2.
It's convenient that now a co-commissioner with
same difference.
Said week 1. Week 2 is not week.
Okay. What I was saying is after week 1, when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. I made the trade, is what I was trying to say.
You guys can justify.
Yeah, we've already caught you in a lie.
Okay, you're right. I lied.
We've already caught you in a lie.
We'll leave the trophy and the Pop Tan household another year.
That's honestly fine. Because I mean, I think it's safe to say that this all the money is going to go towards our honeymoon in Italy. But
it's a wedding gift for everyone.
But I do hope that she gets her name on it. Because having my name in back,
so sit him. Sit everyone.
Back to back years.
Sit him.
I don't know if that would look great.
Sit him.
Well, technically, are you counting the one
doesn't
where you
look great already?
Where you share it?
God, like, smoking.
Sorry.
Yeah, my name is on the plaque for last year.
Shared championship.
So I mean, like, no one thinks that this is going to be a legitimate championship anyway. So you might as well just sit all your people.
I think there's 2, maybe 3 people who aren't going to think this isn't a legitimate championship.
We could figure out a majority here.
We'll see. Why don't you work on that?
All right. I'll let you know.
I think, I mean, good for you that you're in it, but you've won. It would be the same way that you're not cheering for anyone that's won. I was rooting for a Natalie Jarrah championship.
I was too.
Just to have an all-female championship game.
I completely agree. And honestly, I thought for sure that Natalie was going to beat me. The fact that I beat her, in general, but I beat her by 20 points was very, very surprising to me.
Right time, right place. You did not have.
But it's like you said last week. When it gets to the playoffs, you just set your lineup and you cross your fingers.
Yeah. Did you have the Ravens defense?
No.
Okay. Well, who did?
I will tell you though, there is one league that I'm in the championship. And this is also my first time playing ESPN Fantasy since 2017. I was not aware of how this shit was going because I keep checking it and I'm like, why has it not moved on to the other matchup? Because I'm in the championship now. But it goes 2 rounds. So I was in the semifinals. This last week was our round 2 of 2. And it accumulates all the points.
Okay.
So we played 2 weeks ago. And then they added the points from this. But, I mean, I killed who I played in the semis. I was ahead by 50.
Gotcha.
But the championship now is again going to be 2 rounds.
So they're trying to make it not
so fluky. They include week 18 when everybody's sitting and stuff?
Dang.
Yeah. It's going to be rough.
It's going to be rough for sure. Well, I mean, maybe not. I mean, like, now you have let's get into this, right? Like, we have the Chiefs who have been now eliminated from being the number one seed. I'm not saying that you have any of those, but there's a lot of teams in the AFC particularly where a lot's not decided. You know, we've been in so many different scenarios where things have been decided.
We're in a crazy circumstance here, Pete, because there are 3 teams in the AFC that have double-digit wins. Can you name them?
Browns.
Baltimore.
The Cleveland Browns.
The Baltimore Ravens.
And the Miami Dolphins.
And the Miami Dolphins, yeah.
So you could say third best team in the AFC is...
I was cheering for the Browns.
Say it.
I was cheering for the Browns, and I was rooting against Baltimore because I had forgotten that I placed a random division winner parlay with five teams. Detroit, who locked it. Mm-hmm. Miami, who locked it. Tampa Bay, who's number one currently.
I don't think Miami's locked it.
Buffalo's still like two behind. Well, regardless, they're number one.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay, who has the only winning record, who's number one in that division right now.
Baker and, Mayfield, Mike Evans.
What I say, Miami, Detroit, Tampa Bay, the Texans, who's a in a three-way tie, and fucking Cleveland. I wanted the Cleveland win, but I needed a Baltimore loss.
Yeah.
Because this was like a just a five-leg division winner, and I'm like, Cleveland has a serious chance to win it, but Baltimore just kept pulling away, and I'm pretty sure they... maybe they haven't locked it. They're 11-3.
Right. They haven't locked it, but they certainly can.
It would have to be a real domino effect of games for Cleveland to take it.
Yeah, so we're going to get into Cleveland here in a second because I want to talk about Joe Flacco. But
Team of Destiny, you mean?
Yeah, the Ravens as well, that game against 49ers. I do want to start with the Chiefs. Chiefs eliminated from being number one. They'll have to be a wild card team. Patrick Mahomes never been a wild card guy. That loss the other day, it was wild. I was opening up presents on Christmas morning, and the Raiders' defense scores two times in 7 seconds? Insane! And so then I'm just going, all right, Brody, you enjoy that that remote control car. That's great. I'm going to go ahead and place another in-game bet on Kansas City because there's no way that they can lose this damn game. And then Aiden O'Connell had 60. Hold on. Let me pull up this stat. This was remarkable that the Chiefs somehow lost this game against that team.
Pretty sure Aiden O'Connell had 0.06 or 0.6 fantasy points.
He did. So he had... in the first quarter, 62 passing yards, Aiden O'Connell did. He had 0 passing yards for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
For the rest of the game. And they won 20-14 against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. What are you doing?
I'm willing to say now, there's no way they can win a Super Bowl.
And yet, you have a bet against me, which is great.
There's no way.
They are broken.
I don't think they'll win the Super Bowl, but I also think that...
I have a bet against you that they'll win the Super Bowl?
No, that they would be in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's
remember
bad.
That
it's a team
one.
Bet.
Yeah.
I just...
But you still have the Eagles. Your hope is the Eagles or the Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
I think the Chiefs have built this, how great they are, and we have been... They have set the standard for who the Chiefs are for the last few years.
Yeah. They can't have it down either.
That anything that goes wrong, we're all just losing it. Mahomes has a bad game. They drop balls three games in a row.
Travis Kelce and the Taylor Swift curse.
They're 9-7. And then we are just looking for, like, is it Taylor Swift? Is Kelce distracted? Like,
does he even want to play anymore?
They're just everyone's just losing their fucking minds because they've set the standard so high and have dominated for the last half a decade in the league.
Yeah.
I think
borderline dynasty.
The biggest concern is, though, is that there isn't one individual to blame this on. This was a team loss.
Yeah, I thought that Miguel, I think it was Miguel who had texted it, was just like, they've gotten away with like being in these games, if not winning these games, because Mahomes has been on point, right? But the fact that he's throwing pick sixes right there in the first half just is demoralizing.
The other games have been like, wide receiver mishaps and drop balls. Mm-hmm. This last game, Mahomes looked bad. He looked bad. But also, you have to give credit to Antonio Pierce. He took over the Raiders team as an interim head coach and in charge of the defense. They are the number three defense in the National Football League since he took over.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not Aiden O'Connell, The guy didn't get you 1 point in fantasy, which is a decent measure for how you do with stats. It's not like Devontae Smith is going off. They don't have Josh Jacobs.
Devontae Adams.
They don't have Josh Jacobs. They have White, who's running the ball, mm-hmm. who did pretty well. It's their fucking defense that is flying all over the field.
Crosby.
Yeah, I mean, Crosby's insane. And then, you know, you had that the guy, I forget his name off the top of my head, who had the pick six, who then was going to go and give it to a Chiefs stand and then pulled it away like a total dickhead. Everyone's giving that guy a very cringy,
I don't think that's
right.
a total dickhead move. It's a fuck you move.
That's those are also two rivals.
Yeah,
Chiefs,
those are division
Raiders.
Rivals. Like,
division rivals, yeah. Sure.
Raiders have been the little brother
But
to the Chiefs for a long time. Fuck
right.
them.
But, I mean, like, gosh, like, in 7 seconds you have, you know, I think they scored 13 points off that because they did a two-point that did not convert. Either way, I mean, your offense did virtually
it's epitome impressive. Of American sports and fans and everyone. You build somebody up, and then you build them up to be so dominant, winning dynasty, and when they get there, you cannot wait to tear them the fuck down. Everything that goes wrong, you want to tear them down. You want to bring them back down to earth because they got so high up there.
Yeah, I mean, like,
but they're bringing themselves down.
They are. Yeah, it's
not,
the people
not
have been
us
waiting
hoping
for the opportunity
for their demise.
There's, I'm not. Clearly, we have nothing to do with their demise. They're shooting
yeah,
themselves.
It's their fault.
But it's like people love seeing it. People love seeing the Chiefs. Like, oh yeah, finally, fuck Mahomes. Fuck Taylor Swift, fuck Travis Kelce, and you relish in their demise. That is the American sports fan.
Yeah.
That's facts.
That is who we are.
What's funny is that I'm not that guy. I'm just like kind of more.
You are the leader of that pack. What the fuck are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not that guy with the Chiefs. Like, I haven't been waiting to tear the Chiefs down. I've been more, like, I am the leader of that guy. And for some reason, I'm not with them. But maybe it's because my wife is a
What's
big Swiftie.
What's the odds on betting the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl
I actually have that link up.
I wouldn't bet them to win the Super Bowl, but I don't think they're dead. I'd still see them getting there.
Either way, and I think that like Patrick Mahomes is allowed, you know, he gets my permission to have a game off there. You know,
I'm sure he was worried about that.
Futures now. We have the Chiefs. They were at what, +400, +600 last week? We'd have to
It was surprisingly low than I had expected.
But they're still at +800 now. So they're still within striking range. I don't think that I would have.
Here's what's exciting. And this has been my main focus because I have a future on it. This weekend completely changed the landscape of MVP.
It sure did. Yeah.
So Purdy, who was at minus like 160, throws four picks.
It's Lamar.
Lamar is now minus 160, but guess who's a very close second? McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Niners get blown out, but McCaffrey gets 102 rushing yards and like 25 or 30 receiving yards and a touchdown. So it goes Lamar at minus 160, McCaffrey at like +300. But I got him at +1400 in October.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good bet.
So it's not over. Lamar has a bad game.
Yeah, it's McCaffrey's to.
McCaffrey keeps going. There's a chance. Mm-hmm. I just need a chance.
Well, the thing that's in your favor is the Ravens are in a position where if they win
they
next
can sit
week,
him out.
Then he's not going to play. And I don't know if that will affect him, but you'd got to think because Christian McCaffrey is going to have to play in Week 18. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. It is interesting. I'm sure that you guys were tracking this, but it was a guy who had a bet that he placed earlier in the season where Brock Purdy was at +10,000 to win the MVP, and it was to pay out $202,000. Well, there is an app in which you can trade betting tickets and
prop swap.
Yeah. And so this bet was up there in this past weekend. Originally someone had offered him $90,000 for this ticket to pay 202 if he had won, and he was again the favorite at -160, so it's looking great. He declined that one, but just right before that game, I think Friday or Saturday, accepted a offer of $125,000.
Some idiot bought the ticket.
Bought the ticket before that game happens. Then we see what happened with Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
And now Brock Purdy is sitting at a cool plus 1,200 on DraftKings, which is even worse than it was immediately after the game. And poof, there goes $125,000 for that guy. Because there's no way that Brock Purdy can come back from that at this point. Because you're possibly playing a guy that, a team that you're going to play again in the Super Bowl. Right? Yeah. Like, I mean, there's very few options here. That is.
And the Ravens stuffed him.
Absolutely.
Absolutely stuffed them.
They heard all of the things. They heard Mike Florio say that the 49ers were going to kick the shit out of them and all this other stuff. They used it as the motivation. You know,
the Ravens are good.
Yeah.
I'm not completely sold.
Okay.
But tell me why. Tell me why you're not completely sold.
But how many times have we seen, and this doesn't take anything away from how great Lamar and the Ravens defense and like Gus Edwards and all them, they're great. They're really good. The reason I'm not completely sold is because we've seen this season with the Cowboys, with the Eagles, and with the Niners. You see them completely dominate a game. And you're like, these guys are fucking untouchable. They are absolutely untouchable. And then they lose a game by getting blown out. The Ravens, I don't even think, are on the same level as Philly and San Francisco.
So here's why I disagree with you to a degree.
Well, they just dominated San Francisco.
They did. I'm saying we've just seen these games happen with who we see as the dominant team.
But we also agree that it's all about timing. And the thing that the Ravens haven't been able to do, they've always been a dominant team, but they don't time their strength well. They get injured. They fizzle out towards the end of the season.
Yeah, Lamar's usually out for a quarter of the season.
But they are doing everything right at the right time.
Despite some crucial injuries.
Exactly. And they're having people step up and playing the part that they need to at the right time.
And, you know, earlier this season we were talking about how, oh, the Dolphins have been dominant, but they've been doing it. They hadn't beaten a team over 500 in like over a year, close to a year. Kind of the same thing with the Dallas Cowboys, where it was like, wow, like they're steamrolling guys, but also like look at the team record compared to. This year, the Ravens have 7 wins by 14 plus points. All of those opponents are currently over 500. And that's Houston, Cleveland, Detroit, Seattle,
I think it's real
Cincinnati,
hard
Jacksonville, to deny and San Francisco.
Don't think
the Ravens dominance.
I don't think they have enough to make it to the end.
They,
if I just think back to a few years to this point, every Super Bowl team has that it guy. It has the Travis Kelce. It has like the AJ, you know, like AJ Brown.
Lamar Jackson is not an it guy.
But for Lamar Jackson to like throw to, we're talking about Zay Flowers. We're talking about a highlight old OBJ. No Mark Andrews. And Isaiah Likely, like these are all very good players, but he doesn't have the Mike Evans. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have the Mike Evans, the Travis Kelce, the Rob Gronkowski. Every Super Bowl
the
team
Tyree
that I
Hill.
Can remember has those guys, a game changer, an absolute game changer. I don't think the Ravens outside of Lamar has that guy.
I think Lamar is enough. I think their defense is good enough to have a quarterback to be their it guy.
I hope so. I'm not against them. I just don't think they do.
Offensive core that is good enough. Like, I think, you know, maybe belittling is the wrong word, but to lessen the value of Likely to or OBJ or Zay Flowers.
Gus Edwards
or their
or
kind
whomever.
Of, you know,
Justice Hill. If those guys are healthy at this point, I don't even
exactly.
know.
The thing that I think is so great about the Ravens is that they don't need to have one guy that's so, so good to make up for everybody else. They've got 5 guys who are just good enough to make up for one another.
And if they could do that, fucking more power to them. I would love to see it. I just know that.
You think in crunch time, it's not enough.
I just think history of Super Bowl winners or making it to the Super Bowl game. when you're talking about an NFL game changer, it is a massive difference. A Tyreek Hill is a massive difference. A Travis Kelce. Like, that one person who you know is not going to let you down and can just beat everyone on the field. They're just so superior above everyone. So I think that matters when you get to the big game.
So here's a question that I think is interesting. If you're coming into a game, would you rather have one five-star player with, you know, three-star players, or would you rather have five four-star players?
But you're looking at you're asking me that question because you're looking at my take as an either or. It's not an either or. I would go with whatever's going to give me the best chance to win the fucking Super Bowl.
And that's my question. What do you think is going to give you the
best
chance?
But it's not an either or. What I'm saying is those teams that have that it player, the superior game changer, that team also has the Isaiah Likelys and the Gus Edwards and the Zay Flowers, the above average players. I'm saying what's missing with the Baltimore Ravens is they have those guys without the it guy.
I mean, like, we did talk a couple weeks ago about just, like, the sneaky dominance, the lack of sex appeal that the Ravens not only have this year, but almost always seem to have, where you have, like, you know, the Mark Andrews and the Lamar Jacksons. But, I mean, just kind of this, like, slow burn that is the Ravens. And, you know, if we're not saying the Ravens in your mind, is it the Bills? Is it the Browns? Is it the Dolphins?
But definitely the Browns.
When you're naming, if you name like the Browns and you name the Bills, the reason that question doesn't apply to what I'm saying is because it's not an either or. Like I said, the Bills have a Shakir, a Gabe Davis. That to me is who Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely and all those guys are. But he has Diggs. That's my it guy.
Diggs hasn't had over 100 yards receiving in over 10 weeks.
He's still fucking Stephon Diggs. The reason you're bringing that up is because that's who he is. We expect 100 yards out of him.
But Chiefs game last year, it was 5 touchdowns to Gabe Davis. Right? Like, I mean, that's that game against the Chiefs and the Bills. Like, it was a Gabe Davis game.
And I think you could say Zay Flowers has almost as many productive games as Stephon Diggs.
Sure.
You could give the same comparison that OBJ or Zay Flowers could have a breakout game in the playoffs and be that guy that you need.
Stats-wise, currently in the season, we can say a lot of things. If we're sitting here and I go, who's Josh Allen's number one option? Is it even a fucking... Or would you guys take 2 seconds? Who's his number one option?
Yeah, it's Diggs.
It's Diggs.
Yeah.
There's no question.
But, however, like, and we see this in the NBA, if I can cross sports a little bit, it's like, shut that guy down and make everyone else beat you.
Sure. There's a million takes. My only take is, who's Josh Allen's number one guy? There's a clear answer.
Yeah,
who
absolutely.
Who is Flacco's number one guy? Amari Cooper.
There is one franchise
clear
record.
Answer.
Yeah.
Why is it a bad thing that when you ask about Lamar Jackson, he has two number one guys?
Or that he
because
distributes the
ball. Because they're not number one guys.
But, and, I but mean, like,
wouldn't you rather spread the talent around? Wouldn't you rather be like, oh, well, if I'm a defense playing the Buffalo Bills, I know I need to double team Stephon Diggs and then we win or we're competitive.
It's not that I don't agree with what it's not that I wouldn't want what he has. If Mark Andrews was playing, my take would be a little bit different because I would say he has all these guys that we like, but he has Andrews.
So
that's his guy. That's his number one guy.
But my point is if I'm a defensive coordinator going against the Bills, I know that I have one person to worry about. If I'm a defensive coordinator going against the Ravens, Who is it going to be this week?
Because we're seeing that in the Chiefs right now.
Exactly.
We're seeing, like, the Ravens are what we're hoping that what people are hoping that the Chiefs would be. But there's, you know, they've got a bunch of wide receivers who are not number one options, who drop balls, and then they're just making sure that they shut down Travis Kelce.
Our only gap here is you guys are not seeing the same way I'm seeing a number one option. Yes, having a above average crew of Zay Flowers, OBJ, likely, Gus Edwards, Keaton Mitchell. Great. Awesome, right?
Yeah.
But when you have the superior guy, he gets so much attention that it makes life so much easier for everybody else.
Sure.
Why do you think Gabe Davis had 5 fucking touchdowns? Because Diggs was covered. It's the same way that Mecole Hardman, that
you're,
everyone
you're
else.
Saying it takes attention away.
They serve, so they can their do better. Purpose is so much bigger than I think what you guys are seeing. When you have a Tyreek Hill, when you have a Travis Kelce, these guys perform when they're double teamed. When they're triple teamed, that means someone's fucking wide open. I think the value that a number one guy brings to a team is not something you could cover up. It's so important.
I suppose it is like kind of like, I don't know if it's 6-1, half dozen of the other, but where you say like, if you don't know who's going to beat you on any given night, you have to have like equal respect and they would be one-on-one, right? Your argument is that like you need a number one, like a Stephon Diggs, who you wouldn't necessarily expect in that game to show out the most, but who would attract so much attention to you that it allows the other guys to shine like a Gabe
Davis. And there's so much unknown that are all positives. Like, Stephon Diggs could attract so much attention and still perform. Or could get so much attention that he's not able to, but it opens the field for everybody else. If the Ravens had Mark Andrews, that's my number one guy for Lamar. I mean, that opens up likely. That opens up Zay Flowers way more than how they're performing so great right now. That helps big time. A number one player in the NFL, to me, is one of the most important things.
You know, the fact that the Ravens, I know that it wasn't like a huge number one or anything like that, but a guy who was like having a good comeuppance with Keaton Mitchell as well for the Ravens, you know, they come out this week and they, you know, will continue to dominate. And I think, again, you're looking at like guys who, you know, they're losing players, but they're backfilling. They've got 7 wins by 14 or more points, and all of those have been against winning teams where we have so many other stats where it's like, okay, cool, you beat up on all of these other guys, but like you're actually like not, it's not as impressive, right? And then we see what happens in Miami in the Miami and Dallas game. It's almost like, you know, you've talked about same fish. Those teams kind of have been same fish this year, and to see that like Miami was the one who persevered in that game, kind of like, you know, once again knocked down the Dallas Cowboys, another peg, but then also kind of like, you know, despite the injuries and all of this stuff, kind of told us a good number of things, I think, about both of those teams in that game. There are times, like, you know, we see in the 49ers and Ravens game where they go, they play that game next week, they play that game tomorrow, 49ers are going to get favored again because that was a fluke. Five interceptions or 5 turnovers, that was a fluke. But I think that this Miami and Dallas game was actually pretty indicative about both of those games. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree with that.
Also, the reason why I'm not buying into the Ravens is because it's a completely different league than it was 20 years ago, obviously. The only team I can remember that had like one star on offense, and in this case it would be Lamar, with a really good defense that won the Super Bowl, was the 2000 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because that was led by Trent Dilfer.
Sure.
That had maybe one star receiver and like a running back crew that was all, they were all average. But it had like Warren Sapp and Rondé Barber and Derek Brooks. But that was the 2000 NFL. This is a high-scoring offensive league that I don't think the great above-average Ravens defense could carry them all the way if Lamar has all of these above-average guys, but not without a Tyreek Hill, without that one guy that could just separate them above the rest of the teams.
Right. I mean, like, the, you know, not to like continue to move this towards the Dolphins, but I mean, Dolphins were able to do that with a hampered Tyreek Hill as well, which I thought was pretty impressive too.
Yeah. And I think you can look at the Joe Flacco Ravens that we kind of talked about earlier. They didn't have, you know, a ton of weapons on offense, and they were able to win that Super Bowl with Ray Lewis. And
yeah, and that was that's still before like the push for scoring.
Yeah, that was kind of at the start at the offensive power that the NFL
that
had.
That was also not an above average defense. That was a fucking incredible.
Yeah, no, probably one of the best defensive lineup in the last 20 years.
But like, if you go back to the Dolphins, you could lose Tyreek, and that's a massive loss, first of all. Pretty sure Raheem Mostert leads the league in touchdowns.
Yeah.
And his backup is a up-and-coming rookie running back that would start at any other team. Yeah. Jalen Waddle would be wide receiver one on another team. Mm-hmm. And Tua is not he's an above-average quarterback.
For sure.
So for that team to keep the engine running the way they have
despite
been,
all the injuries,
you need Tyreek.
Yeah.
But they can win. I mean, they showed that against Dallas, for sure. But I don't know.
Dolphins currently minus 350 to win the division.
I just got to say, because we talk about these teams that, oh, they're dealing with so many injuries and they're still doing well. Look at them. Look at them. If you want to, but I implore you to look at the Cleveland Browns injury roster.
Yeah, no question.
It is almost an all-pro team. From top to bottom.
Of all the people who are injured.
Of all
no
the
question,
people
they're
who
up,
are
they're
injured.
Number one.
And for them to be in the place that they're at right now, they locked themselves in a playoff spot. They do have some weird chance to even win this division, which it's odd, no doubt, to get there, but yep. It is possible.
Plus 1,500 currently, but yeah.
To win the division or Super Bowl?
The division.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be pretty difficult for them.
But guess what? There's no way the Browns would be in this position had it not been for the Flacco move.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
The Flacco move, the fact that some people question that he should not be playing over PJ Walker or DTR, Flacco's experience, and he doesn't need to do much. They have a pretty good O-line.
Yeah.
Sit in the pocket.
Even though 4 out of 5 of their offensive line are second stringers, they still have a dominant line. Their defense is number one in the league. And what's the odds for them to win the Super Bowl?
Plus 4,500.
4,500.
Yeah.
Okay. So $10 to win 450.
Yeah.
Also,
place it, why not?
Also, I wouldn't discount the fact that Jerome Ford has been a godsend for that team.
Yeah, absolutely. They definitely
come in after Nick Chubb, and you still sort of have a two-headed monster with Kareem Hunt and Ford. Ford's pretty fucking good.
No, I think that they split time well, but gosh.
It is interesting, like to to move that a little bit further, Joe Flacco now sits second place in the NFL comeback player of the year odds at plus 400. Obviously, the comeback player of the year favorite is DeMar Hamlin.
How many plays has he played?
Right, and that's kind of, I don't know that off the top of my head.
Less than 10.
He's hasn't played a lot, and it is kind of an interesting conversation where, you know, I attribute it to, I'm going to make this very personal for myself. I am an Emmy-nominated producer and editor. The year that I was nominated, there was a very, like, tug-on-your-heartstrings type of a story that, like, you kind of knew was going to win in the category because mine wasn't, right? Mm-hmm. The Joe Flacco side does not have the DeMar Hamlin story.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Joe Flacco isn't, you know, the person who has been a
100%
game changer for that team? A little bit ironic, too, that the Jets had Joe Flacco as a backup, and had they just kind of retained him, they could have been that team with Joe Flacco. But yeah, so DeMar Hamlin, you know, it's again kind of this, what people were trying to make Brock Purdy be.
It's a great storyline.
Yeah. So DeMar Hamlin has returned to the field. Has he made a difference?
Also,
no.
Another Cleveland Brown that has taken the place of another prominent tight end, at least in this, like, in my head, in my ranking, we, in the last couple of years, have seen this tight end ranking because it's always been Travis Kelce above everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, when Gronk was in the league, it was Kelce and Gronk. Gronk leaves, and it was Kelce and Kittle and Mark Andrews. But there's been like a teetering 4 and 5, and Waller's been on there pretty he had the four or five locked, like with TJ Hawkinson and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'd say TJ Hawkinson and then the five and six.
Yeah, but Njoku?
He's a beast.
David Njoku has taken Darren Waller's place in the ranking of tight ends. That guy has produced.
He got his face burned off.
Like, he sure did.
That guy has had, like, if you go over Njoku's numbers, it has been, like, through all the quarterbacks that they've had, through the Deshaun Watson drama, all the way to the two backups, to signing Joe Flacco, he has been so consistent, so reliable. He has been the Darren Waller of 2017 today.
And also one of, if not the guy that I drafted to be my tight end and got rid of after like week two.
He gave up on
that. Big mistake.
That felt real good. Damar Hamlin, by the way, has appeared in five games this year as two tackles. And two solo tackles. So
love him. Glad he's alive.
Glad he's alive. But the story was remarkable. And they're going to, once again, not parade, but they're going, you know, they're going
I think it would be a mistake to not give Joe Flacco that award. A mistake.
Who else is in the running for that?
For comeback player of the year. One moment, please. I will dial that up.
Is Tua on there?
Tua's up there.
Might be.
Top Let's five, see. Probably.
Comeback player of the year. Damar Hamlin at minus 400. Joe Flacco at plus 400. Baker Mayfield at plus 800. Tua at plus 1200. You also have Matthew Stafford tied with Tua at plus 1200. Both.
First of all, we've throwing a lot of hate towards Baker Mayfield. That guy has been moved around so much. And
yeah.
Tampa Bay, I know he has Mike Evans, who is just the most consistent.
10 years of a
probably
thousand
yards. The most underrated wide receiver in all of fucking NFL. Mike Evans just produces for you every fucking year. But most underrated quarterback of all fucking time has got to be Matt Stafford. It has got to be Matt Stafford. That guy does not get enough credit.
Yeah, he's been slinging it. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, he's been like the highest paid quarterback with, but you know, in 2015 or whatever, that guy's played 90% of his life with the fucking Detroit Lions, who won their first division title in 30 years.
Yeah,
since pre Super Bowl era,
Matt Stafford.
They've never won the NFC North because that's how long it's been. They used to be the NFC Central.
Yeah.
Do you know the top, wide receiver receiving yards ever in the league? Number one's Calvin Johnson. Who's his quarterback?
Matt Stafford.
Number two is Cooper Kupp. Who is his fucking quarterback?
Matt Stafford.
Who is running for number three right now? Would you like to take a wild fucking guess? Because he's a goddamn rookie.
And Puka Nacua.
Puka Nacua not only is going to beat Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson for most receiving yards as a fucking rookie, but he is going to be third behind Kupp and Calvin Johnson. And who is his quarterback?
Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the fucking NFL.
And he usually does it with a broken rib or three.
He does it hurt every fucking year. That guy is never talked about in top 10 quarterbacks in the
league.
I'm
so glad he got a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
yes, he deserved that fucking Super Bowl. And he deserves more.
Yeah.
That guy, when you think about when we go over top 10 quarterbacks, we are naming Marino and Montana and all this shit. Stafford's name never gets thrown in the box. He is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the NFL.
He's
so
great.
Fucking underrated.
He can come play for the Browns anytime.
Dude, I would take Matt Stafford as my quarterback any day.
And not to take anything away from Matt Stafford, because I totally agree. The team that traded him to L.A., the Detroit Lions, back to what happened there. There was obviously, you know, they win the division. They took it down to the wire, you know, right at the end. But it was interesting, just like everything that went around. There was a lot of emotion, both for Jared Goff, the guys who have been there through the 3-12, 3-14, whatever it was.
Their coach was on that team.
Yeah.
Their coach was on that team.
The 0-16 team.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, to see that, like, and to rise to the occasion, the moment, Dan Campbell recognizing all of those guys who were on those types of teams as well, that can't be understated for what happened this past weekend, despite their efforts to throw that
There's
game
also something that I've said before, I know. The coaching difference between other pro sports in the NFL and how it matters so much more in the NFL, the Lions making it here this year, this season, and winning the division title, that is all credit to Dan Campbell.
Yeah, and I mean it.
Coaching in the NFL, it's not like Frank Vogel coaching the fucking Lakers, all right? The coaches in the NBA, it does not fucking matter.
Yeah.
But coaching in the NFL, you have to give a lot of the credit to Dan Campbell.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, he joked in his introductory press conference that, like, hey, I know that some of you guys thought I was Matt Campbell from Iowa State or whatnot. But, you know, it just kind of goes to show that, like, you know, you had an offensive line coach and you go, like, what the hell? The Lions, like, the laughing stock of the league is now hiring this guy? Like, what the hell?
Not even
an
offensive line coach. A tight ends coach,
yeah. And so kind of an interest in then to see how this all plays out. Like, we all have expectations for how these guys are going to do. Flashy names here and there for how they may go in the media. But still, like, you know, we're seeing that with the Dan Campbells, the Antonio Pierces, who, you know, you just turn on. Like, nothing has changed for Davante Adams this year. Nothing. He hasn't gotten catches, he hasn't gotten touchdowns, and he was pissed off. Get me out of here. Antonio Pierce comes in, he wants to run through a wall for Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
And nothing has changed for him in the time that Josh McDaniels has been fired to now. If anything, it's gotten worse, and it seems like Davante Adams is like, yeah, we're good.
Well, I think that's more of a sign as to who Josh McDaniels is as a person.
Yeah, but I think it's also like, you know, a guy that you'll run through a wall for.
Also, if people really paid attention to coaching changes, especially in the National Football League, you have the unicorns and like the Kyle Shanahans and the McVays, you know, and Matt LaFleur or whatever. These offensive-minded young coaches, Mike McDaniel and all that. But why would you ever question a tough motherfucker? Because in the history of the league, when you have a tight end, an O-line coach, an Antonio Pierce, a defensive guy, when they take over either a rebuild or a middle-of-the-road team, they get them to the point where they succeed. Because they're, you know, like the Eagles' O-line coach is one of the best coaches in the entire league. You can insert whoever in there. They will dominate because he has a system. O-line coaches are some of the best like leaders you could have on a team. I don't know why people ever question Dan Campbell or any of those guys. They're fucking tough, and they toughen your team up.
Yeah. Jeff Saturday was not a good selection there, but that's one weird. Yeah, that was
different. I'll tell you what, the one Super Bowl matchup that I think everybody in America would be okay with, Lions-Browns.
You think so?
I would love that.
If everybody,
the NFL would hate that.
But everybody in America would be like, you know what? These guys.
It was like when the Indians and Cubs played in the World Series.
I don't think the NFL would hate that. Those are two teams with some of the most loyal
fan bases,
yeah. And they're hardcore. They might not be as aggressive as like a Philadelphia fan base, but they've had the same hardcore fan bases.
They've both been 0-16.
And yeah, I think that would be one of the most fun Super Bowls in the last 20 years.
Yeah, and it would be good for guys like Jared Goff and that type. Joe Flacco, Jared Goff.
Can you imagine? That would be awesome. And it's possible.
It's not impossible.
It is possible.
I wonder if they even have that up on the DraftKings.
Like a matchup?
As a matchup. There's just no way in the future. Well,
think about it. These are two teams with a fan base that has been like begging for a successful season.
Let alone
a chance to be in the postseason, like past wild card shit. You have a hold of the Chiefs fan base. You have a hold of still the Patriots today. You have a hold of these dynasties, but to gain the Super Bowl ticket purchases from Lion fans and Brown fans.
Oh, I imagine it'd be one of the most high selling for actual attendance of fans from the cities. Because these guys would think, you know, these fans from Cleveland and Detroit, this might be the last time that they have this chance. They don't want to take the chance and miss it.
If you have a Lions and Browns Super Bowl, this might be the highest selling ticket for standing room only. Because there's 80-year-olds that have been cheering for the fucking Browns that would be like, I haven't seen you guys win since Jim Brown. Like, I'll be there.
Before I die, I have to go.
I need you to. Okay, where is this? Is it in futures? Because I have champion, conference winner, division winner to make the playoffs and number one.
It's somewhere around those four.
And I feel like I made a bet recently where it was like the Ravens and 49. I can't find it off the top. We'll post it and we'll talk about it next week.
Lions beat the Cowboys, though, I tell you what. You're talking about the Cowboys' demise and how they have just been losing.
Yeah.
If the Lions take care of them.
Ooh. Yeah, right now the Cowboys at -250 at home in that game. So, you know, the 49ers are going to have a bounce back game. They're already sitting at -850 kind of coming up on this week. We've got the Rams and the Giants. This is kind of an interesting one because they bench Tommy DeVito, shocker there, for Tyrod Taylor. We all called that out. Tommy DeVito not having the best week because everyone's like, "Oh, you are you're promoting a canned spaghetti sauce. There's no way that you get your Italian card anymore." But I actually like this Giants and Rams game. I actually think might be interesting to see what Tyrod Taylor can do because he was a spark in that game. Then Bills Patriots again. This line I hate it so much. I would even maybe like put the Patriots at +12 here because once again, Bill Belichick does not usually lose to the Buffalo Bills, regardless of how good a guy is or whatever. Bill Belichick has that guy's, you know, and they're coming off of a good win against the Broncos as well, who ruined the Broncos' chances basically about getting into the playoffs.
The Bills are winning. The Bills are doing great. But Josh Allen's still making mistakes.
He is.
You make and you're not here and you're not going to sit here and think that Bill Belichick is not going to be able to plan against a Josh Allen who's prone to throwing picks or making bad decisions.
For sure.
It's not a gimme for them.
Versus a defense that has kept them in a lot of games. I mean, they allowed in 3 weeks 13 points and somehow lost all three of those games. But, you know, who knows? Maybe you get a pick six here and there. You get a defensive touchdown. The Eagles. You know,
Before you move on from the Bills, I will say, Leonard Fournette, that's a massive addition for them.
Sure.
I have no idea why that guy's been out of the league. Why he hasn't been on a roster.
Right.
Like, he has a lot left in the tank. That guy's not that old.
I think that just, like, the general perception of the running back these days is that you're like a racehorse. You get over 3 years old and you're retired. And maybe that was just kind of the perception about a guy like that.
I don't know. It's not like Fournette left and was not put on a roster because he had a bad season. Like, he was coming off a Super Bowl win and a mediocre season with Tampa Bay with Tom Brady's last year, and then all of a sudden he wasn't on a roster. Like, Leonard Fournette is still pretty good.
I like the Eagles, you know, this week. You know, it does seem that, you know, they win
another squeak.
Yeah, I mean, they were up by a couple of scores there towards the end of the game. They let the Giants get back into it. I don't know, man. Like, I'm still convinced that my bet is going to pay off. They won another ugly game. That should have been a get-right game. I had a bet on, like, hey, Jalen Hurts has been getting all this flack, so I put, like, some money on, like, a Jalen Hurts good game parlay, and that didn't hit. Even though we had 301 passing yards and a touchdown.
Oh.
I think we're... We're getting into a fun time of the season because usually at this time of the year, there's a lot more surety in who's going to win divisions. And I think things are very close. There's a lot of number ones in conferences who are still up for grabs. So I think we're going to see teams playing into the end of the year, and it's going to be a fun last few weeks of the NFL.
Yeah, this Saints and Bucks game has a lot of implications.
Absolutely.
On it, coming up this weekend. Additionally, like, Bears and Falcons could kind of be a sneaky good game too. Maybe not for, like, you know, obviously playoff stuff, but just kind of like two teams in somewhat of a similar place in their franchises.
I wonder if, like, people's perception of Justin Fields is changing because Justin Fields hasn't had a bad game since he came back. Like, he's been pretty good.
Yeah. Who do you guys like in that game? You got Bears at home, and they are currently a 3-point favorite.
I like the Bears because they got all their running backs back.
Yeah.
Because with Khalil Herbert, that's a game changer for them. Because when he's been out, they've been riding with Deontay Foreman and Roshan Johnson. But Khalil Herbert, there's one game where he scored like 3 touchdowns, right? I think him being back, Justin Fields playing well. I mean, they won last game, and yes, it's against the Cardinals, but like DJ Moore had 3 catches. They didn't even need him, and they won by 11. So I feel like DJ Moore's going to have a great game. I would take the Bears on this one. They're playing spoiler.
Another interesting divisional matchup with the Titans and the Texans. Texans at home, 3.5 points, so they get a little extra half point there. But Ryan Tannehill is back, and you know who knows what kind of output you're going to get from Derrick Henry, but a slight favorite there for the Texans. Again, another like not the most sexy, but like could turn out to be like a really good game because of what is on the docket. Unfortunately, that we're not going to get the Bengals and Chiefs game at this point in the season that we were all kind of hoping for at the season's beginning, right? With Joe Burrow being hurt.
And who knows? Such. Jake Browning could put on a show and Mahomes could play down to what he has been these last couple weeks. So we'll see. I mean, I think we've all learned that the NFL this year is up for grabs. As far as what we expect and what we hope for, it usually doesn't happen. So
yeah, and I like a good Monday night football game there with the
Packers Vikings.
Yeah, we've got a couple. Wait,
division matchup.
What are we looking at? We're looking at a couple of. What is that day? Hold on, one moment.
There's
please.
One Thursday night game. There's one Saturday game. It's all Sunday, and then
no Monday games of the Jan 6 games. Okay, yeah. Got it. Yep.
So there's like normally there's 6 morning slot games. There's like 10.
Yeah.
There's 3 afternoon and then a Sunday night.
So let's talk about our college football playoff games here that are going to be coming up.
Oregon State Notre Dame. was it Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Prime rib night,
baby. We've got just a few minutes left, and we kind of like monopolized the conversation on the NFL. But let's take a look here at the NCAA slate, because we do have on the 30th. Hold on, one moment, please. We've got on the 30th. We have Ole Miss and Penn State. That is in what bowl game is that? The Orange Bowl? No, the Peach Bowl. My bad. The Peach Bowl. What do we think there?
Penn State.
I think I'd take Penn State as well.
I might go with Ole Miss on that one. Why not? Because it seems like Penn State can't ever rise to the occasion.
Do you think Oregon State can beat Notre Dame?
Notre Dame's
like a 6.5-point favorite.
No, because like their running back Martinez isn't going to be playing. Their new head coach isn't even going
to
be coaching.
Is Martinez not playing because he's going to the league?
No, because he got a DUII or whatever. But then they dropped the charges. But then they had already kind of said he wasn't going to play in the bowl game. But then they were like, well, he's eligible to play now, but he's still not going to play. So I think that's Notre Dame at that point. Then you have the Georgia-Florida State game, which is an interesting one here on the 30th. You know, we've talked about this game ad nauseum. I'm curious if you guys, like, which team do you think will show up for both? Will Florida State be the team that plays with the chip on their shoulder? Will Georgia feel like, man, we don't belong here,
again,
we believe in the college
football
playoff?
This is a lose-lose for Florida State.
Yeah.
They play great. And it's because Georgia didn't try. Because Georgia doesn't care. They play like shit. It's because they never deserve to be in the top anyway.
Yeah.
Like Florida State can't win.
Yeah, I think Georgia wins.
By double digits. I mean, I think that they were a 14-point line.
I think they're going to win handily.
I think that the games to focus on, so you have the Oregon State game, Notre Dame wouldn't be that great. Oregon Liberty won't be that great. But playoffs are happening before we record.
Correct. Yeah. Again, so right? We will, that will be Monday night. The New Year's games, you start out with an Oregon Liberty game at 10 a.m. So it's effectively an 11 a.m. kick in Phoenix, Arizona, which is wild.
Which I think Liberty obviously is going to come into this game with all their force and might.
Yeah.
It means a lot to Liberty to to come in and win this game to continue their undefeated season. And I think it means a lot to Oregon in the fact that Bo Nix, Bucky Irving, a lot of their big time
are playing.
Troy Franklin, they are all playing. This is their last hurrah, so I think that Liberty is going to get the best Oregon team available. So I disagree with Miguel in the fact that I do think that this is an important game to both these teams. Their rosters are going to be full and strong, and I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I do think that Oregon's going to handle it. I think when you see these Power 5 conference teams play some of these, you know, lesser known conference teams, most of the time, you know, the power conferences are going to win. But I just think that Oregon, like I've said all year, this is a good Oregon team. The fact that all these big-time players are coming back, it shows that it means something to them. And I would be hard-pressed to believe that Liberty is going to be able to pull off a win.
Both teams will obviously try, clearly. I just think the perception of the game is that if Liberty beats Oregon, it's because Oregon wanted to be in the playoff, and their motivation isn't all there. If Oregon runs over Liberty like we're expecting, it's because Liberty was never good enough to face a possible playoff team. Like, that's how I view this bowl game.
Yeah, but I don't think that, like, Oregon is scorned or spurned from not being in the playoff. I know they wanted to be, but it's not a surprise that they're not. Oregon now a 17.5-point favorite. It opened at at 15.5 in favor of Oregon, so it's increased a couple. I think that effect was the uncertainty of Bo Nix at the time.
Well, and I think them deciding to play those three main players, I think it shows that this bowl game is important to them. If they were so, you know, disappointed by not making the playoff, then I think they probably wouldn't have played. They don't need to play. They're all going to have great draft positions and going to do well in the NFL. I think this shows that, hey, this is important to us. We do want to show that we're committed to Oregon, and we do want to finish with a win.
The game I'm most excited about, I want to see if Washington could keep up with Texas.
It's going to be a fun game.
Most exciting game that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, and I remember that opening line was, I think, 4. Is that correct? Let me look. The line for the Georgia-FSU game is now at 16.5 in favor of the Bulldogs. And then now we have Texas at -184, Washington at +152. 4.5 is still your line for that game. And do we want to place any bets on that? Are you thinking it's Texas still?
I want Washington to win. I think Texas is better, but I don't know if I would bet on that game because I want Washington to be able to, I want to see them keep up, but I don't know who's going to win that game.
What about the Alabama-Michigan game? I would take Alabama.
That's also tough.
I'll take Alabama straight up. Either of you want that?
Going against Saban? That seems sacrilegious.
Take it, baby. Come on. We've only got a couple minutes left. You can't lollygag here.
I'll take Michigan.
Okay, let me give you guys the odds here.
We're taking it straight up.
So. We are taking it straight up, but I want to give people the updated odds. The Wolverines, a 1.5-point favorite with a very low 44.5
over. Okay, how about this? Straight up, I'll take Michigan. You take Alabama, $20. I'll take Washington. You take Texas, $20.
Shake on
straight?
Mm-hmm. Just both straight up.
So I get Texas?
Games. Yeah.
And I get, okay.
Texas and Alabama.
All right.
$20 each.
$20 each, straight so up. A total of $40 on the line. Yeah.
Love it.
Woo! Grambling. Man, it's going to be fun. Almost forgot that was this week. I'm glad that we squeaked it in.
Yeah. College football, back.
Yeah. And then gone. And then gone for good. But
honestly, kind of coming into a new and fresh, an exciting year of college football with the new playoff. I think the transfer portal being pretty instrumental into the workings of who's dominant this next year. Oregon having a top 5 recruiting class, being number 1, number 2, beating out Ohio State in the Big Ten. I think college football is going to be very, very fun this
also,
next year.
Also, heads up. I know we're coming to the end of football, and we're mostly a football-loving podcast. But bring that same energy for basketball, because there's a lot of great, exciting things happening. And
we've got some good basketball takes to
great
have.
Basketball, NBA, and college, because the whole transfer NIL is also happening in college basketball, and you have a lot of people staying. One-and-dones are kind of fading, and you have people transferring. It's going to be great.
If you guys thought that I have been spending the last week doing some basic popping level one.
You have not.
You would be incorrect. I have not done that. Jimmy's Sports Bar and Grill. January 10th, 6 p.m. is when we kick things off. I will attempt to do something like that. So all of you people listening to us in all of those neighboring 18 countries, in would United, the, book your tickets.
Would the live show be our first recording since playoffs?
No, it would be our second.
So
we will have, I think we'll have...
The national championship.
We'll have the national championship. Okay. Yeah. We'll have the national championship that week. And internally, I think that we will have.
We need to start sending some messages out to people and make sure we're going to have a chance.
Yeah. And I think that we'll be going into the playoffs as well. We'll be going into the NFL playoffs as well. So big week. A lot of stuff to talk about. But Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's, boys.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. Love you all. Clear eyes.
Full hearts.
Get loose.
Oh, that pain is so bad for you.